More and more research is showing that it's important to build strength as part of a healthy lifestyle. But if you spend time in a gym, you may have noticed quite a few young kids using them to lift weights. And it's great to see kids being active, but are adult gyms the best places for kids to do this? Is strength training and lifting weights a good thing for young people? Today we're asking if there's an age-appropriate way for children to do strength training or even weightlifting. Dr. Genevieve Dwyer has been a practicing physio specialising in kids for more than 40 years now. She's a senior lecturer in paediatric physiotherapy at Western Sydney University. Genevieve, great to have you on the program.
Well, thanks, Hilary. Thanks for having me, and hello to all the listeners.
Tell us a little bit about the moment you started feeling concerned about kids in gyms.
Look, I actually did my PhD about physical activity in preschool age kids. And during that time, I saw a major tabloid, and in there, there was the answer to childhood obesity. And there was a big picture, and it had two little four-year-old twins. One was sitting on a mini stationary bike, and the twin sister was standing on a treadmill. And the little boy on the bike was just, his face was looking straight into the camera, and he looked absolutely miserable. His legs were still, and his sister was just staring at the TV screen. And I thought to myself, no, that's not the answer. They don't really get it, that this age group are not mini adults. They're four-year-olds. And four-year-olds, if you look at their body systems, their cognition, the way they move, it's completely different to adults. So the answer, I think what they were trying to do, and I think what everybody would love to see, is that ultimately we want kids to develop positive physical activity behaviours, because that's really important for lifetime health.
That idea of not treating kids as mini adults is interesting too, because do you mean just in the sense that their bodies aren't physically capable of doing certain exercises or bearing certain weights, or is it more developmental?
I think it's a combination of both, because part of when you move, it's an integration of things like, what is the maturity of your body system? So where we're talking about your brain and nervous systems and how it sends the messages for how you move, your bones and your muscles, so how strong they are, your heart and lungs and what their capacity is for sustained activity, and, you know, vestibular or vision, proprioception, they all contribute to how you move. And so if you ask kids to do what adults do, the way adults do it, that doesn't happen. So if we're talking about preschoolers, I think anyone that's taken their kid for, you know, or a friend's kid, you know, for a walk to the park, you see they go and they stop, they go and they stop, they twirl around, they do a zoomies, and then they flop, and then they get up again. As adults, we do sustained activity. And that's where, when you see gyms that have things like treadmills and bikes and rowing machines and those lifting, that's about sustained for bodies that have that capability. But younger kids do not have that. So they don't have it in their body systems. But also, when I say developmentally, it's the way they think about things and their understanding, or, you know, where they are socially. So that's why I don't see the answer to getting kids to be physically active is through just the use of gyms. I should flag, though, I'm not talking about the kind of thing that's called a kinder gym, which is about skill-based and about helping them develop their balance and coordination and fun climbing, because through that, they're actually getting strengthening as well. Because when they move, say they go up and down a climbing frame or walking along, they're actually using their body weight and they're moving against gravity. And so their body weight is actually the form of resistance to which it's a strengthening activity. So just everyday movements like that are ways kids can develop the strength that's needed for playing games and being developmentally appropriate in their play.
So Genevieve, my interest was sparked in this because at my gym I was seeing a lot of early teen kids and pre-teen kids using the weight machines. But how often are you seeing kids doing inappropriate exercise? I mean, can we say that this is a thing, or is it more just, you know,
Think it's definitely a thing, and I think that it's sort of after COVID too, and it's what options kids have. And so I think there's now becoming a trend. And some gyms can be fantastic. So I don't want people to go take away a message, these gyms are bad. They're not. They're good when used appropriately for the right age groups. So if kids are not yet skeletally mature, so they haven't finished their puberty, then when they go to gyms, certainly there are activities they can do and in groups, and they love being together because that's the stage of where peer interaction is so important. And if that's where they're gathering, that's a really healthy thing to do. But it's their body weight. So they might do squats or, you know, stand up, but it's when they do that weights with free weights and they're trying to do, you know, the push-outs and so forth, that's where their systems are at risk because they've still got growing body systems. So, for example, where the muscle attaches to the bone and you overstress it, that can be a point of injury. Or they've still got what's called growth plates in their joints. And if they are overstrained because of inappropriate loads, those growth plates can be damaged and then that causes deformity that's permanent.
We're speaking with, sorry, Genevieve, I'm just,
I do go a mile a minute, so
about.
No, that's good. I'm pretty passionate about it.
We're going to get along fine. But there are a lot of things I want to cover when we talk to you and our other guest today on Life Matters.
Yeah.
We're also getting texts in as well. My 12-year-old son refuses to do team sport because he doesn't want to be the kid that fails the team. I must say I've been considering something like the gym just to get up his physical activity that isn't a team sport.
Yep.
And other ones, including this one, I'm a PT and our guidelines state that under 15 years do light weights, under 5 kilos, unless they're an elite athlete. Body weight exercises, as Genevieve has mentioned, are safe though. So we train school kids with those exercises. For example, push-ups, squats, dips and lunges. They're all using the body weight.
Perfect.
Jen, one of your areas of research is looking at what drives parents' choices around activity and exercise for their kids. You're a physio and you're a senior lecturer in paediatric physiotherapy at Western Sydney Uni. What do you think is happening here that's seeing parents go, look, the gym is a good place for my kid to be?
I think it does depend on what's available and what your lifestyle is and also what age. So that texter that came in and said, my 12-year-old, I'm thinking he doesn't like team sports, but I want him to be active. Let's think about the gym. And I would say, yep, he could go to the gym, but it's what he does at the gym. So you need to have something where he's screened because he's still got a lot of growing to do. And it's also how is he supervised? So if they're group activities that are run by someone who's experienced with working with children and understand the potential for injuries or mishaps and what kind of activities they set up, so they are using body weights, but they are moving, that's fantastic. What I worry about is kids that just turn up and do their own thing. And they've seen it, you know, somebody else doing it, and they're trying to replicate what they're seeing someone who's much older, who has been trained, who has the form. And so people talk about if you're using free weights, and I know the physio who texted in said, well, below 5 kilos, that's not very heavy, but nonetheless it has to be used so that you have control over that movement and you're not suddenly losing control and then that risk of a stress or a strain. So that's one thing, is availability, and I'm talking about ages, but I also think because most of my research has been in the younger age groups and people say, well, playgrounds, you know, parents want to take their kids to playgrounds that have got very suitable equipment. But sometimes for families, when we did our interviews, safety was such a big issue. Were the playgrounds safe? And what I mean by that, it could be if they didn't have fencing, parents worried that maybe people who were walking their dogs off lead, their child wouldn't be safe because the dog might go and hurt them. Or alternatively, it might be in an area where there's a bit of social unrest. And in those very same green spaces could be in the evenings where there's risk-taking behaviour from adolescents, where there might be binge drinking or drug taking. And when the kids might turn up the next day, you know, there's the broken glass and whatever. And so they go, it's not a safe place to be. Or it's about predators, and that they're worried that they won't, if they're not closely supervised, then some harm might happen to their child. And that's why then they go for more supervised activities. And I think that's where gyms come in, because they go, they're going to a place where they will be safe.
Well,
so I understand that.
That's a difficult thing, isn't it? Because you're in favour of active play, but also unstructured play.
Yep.
And tell us a bit about what you mean by that. Does that just mean abandon the child?
No. I think it's letting a child to explore what they're capable of. So when I was doing my PhD, I actually used to hang out in playgrounds just to get an idea. Even though I've been around kids a lot, I think it's just good in a natural environment. And I would hear some parents, as the child's going up, the slippery dip. No, 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 don't go up so high. Don't go up so high. No, no, no. And they were so worried that the child was going to come to harm, but they actually weren't letting the child to work it out for themselves how far to go. So you certainly can be standby supervising, and if they're, you sort of all the climbing ropes that you see, you might go, okay, you want to get up to the next one. What do you want to do? Yeah, put your hand there. I think that'll work. Now pull yourself up. So you can guide them through it, but don't kind of stop them trying to push the boundaries of what their capacity is. So that's one aspect. So being there, supporting them, but letting them explore or letting them do something. Like if it's a seesaw, you know, how many kids, I bet you when you're on a seesaw that you had someone on the other side and then you tried to work out, well, what weight before you lift and where do you have to stand and what if we have two on one side and what that does that do? Or you just literally walk along the seesaw to wait till it goes down. And again, some parents are just so reluctant to have their child potentially, you know, there is a potential the child overestimates something.
Oh, yes.
And so has a tumble. And you don't want major injury. But in fact, just a small little fall, say, if and they go on their hands, they've learnt something and they go, okay, next time I'll do it like this. Or where there was research done at Sydney Uni a long time ago and with their IT school. And they actually looked at school playgrounds and they let some of the schools, the kids, they just left them with planks and blocks and the kids made their play equipment. Wow. And then they had other kids where it was set play equipment. And they showed at the end of the intervention period and follow-up, the kids that created their own playground had fewer falls and injuries than the kids that had predictable equipment. Because it's almost like when they made it, they focused more because it was different. When it was the same, they got a bit lax and then they maybe mistook where they were putting their foot, say, when they were climbing and then had an injury.
Yep. So they had a physics lesson as well.
Yeah. So, in fact, creating your play, I think, helps demand the attention and it actually gets kids to do it for themselves. And I think in the end of the day, if we've got healthier habits, it's fine when we have someone directing us and supporting us, but what do you do when those supports aren't around?
We're getting texts on this as we speak with Dr. Genevieve Dwyer, who's a practicing physio, who's been specialising in children for more than 40 years.
Gosh, you make me sound old.
I think you sound experienced.
Oh, yeah, that's what we'll say. I'll say that to the students when I get back. See, I'm not old. I'm just very experienced.
Exactly. But the text message number's being very productive today. Helicopter parenting stunts your growth, says one. Yes, that's true. Instagram influencers to blame as well. And another says, look, gyms are becoming a place of extreme body image.
Yes.
I listen to the conversations at work, they say, about relationships at the gym, sexual predatory behaviour. But also, it's not a team sport. It's encouraging the individual competitive behaviour that's part of the increasing narcissistic behaviour, says this text. Weight and resistance training is so good for training strength. The rest of the culture is not good for body love and human cooperation. So that's one view. Genevieve, just before we move on.
Yeah,
I want to talk to Dr. Jordan.
He'll have a lot to say, I'm sure.
Yeah. But what do you say is an appropriate age for a child who wants to go to the gym to head off and do some strength training there?
If it's just about using their body weights and it is, they've screened and supervised by an appropriately trained person, they could go from 12 onwards. If it's about actually using free weights or the machines that where you have additional weights, then I would say that's towards skeletal maturity. But I'm sure Jordan will add to that area. I would like to pick up, though, when you say the pros and the cons, because there's nuances in everything. And whilst the desire can be to have a more positive outcome because you're more physically active. And maybe there will be changes in your body as you get stronger and you get muscle definition. But it can easily segue then into this body image that people, I want to be buffed like you see that's out there on Instagram and social media. And that's where I think parents have to have a really, the way that close conversation with their kids to be open and say what they're worried about. The same when they talk to their kids about other risk-taking behaviour. So whether that's drinking, whether that's vaping or smoking and so forth, whether that's, you know, when that, what sex is about. This at the gym can be places where, in terms of trying to get a good body image, you might be getting that there's supplements that are being pushed onto the kids. And you should talk about, if that's up front, that is not a good thing to do. That can be very harmful. It's also about looking in a mirror and supporting your child to say, that person you see back in the reflection, that's a person I love. And I want you to love yourself.
And these are all part of much bigger conversations that we're all going to be having with our children.
Yeah.
Dr. Genevieve Dwyer, it's fascinating to cover this ground with you. I hope we can come back to you in a moment, but you're right, we've got Dr. Jordan Smith with us too.
I'd be really interested to hear, because he works at a great place. I live in Newcastle, actually.
Oh, there
you
go.
So I know Newcastle University, so I'm really looking forward to hearing that.
Well, Dr. Jordan Smith has a slightly different view, as you said, on when more formal strength training might be appropriate. He initially worked as a PE teacher in high schools. Now he's a senior lecturer at the University of Newcastle, specialising in strength-based fitness for school-age kids. Jordan, welcome to Life Matters.
Thanks a lot for having me.
I think we're all on the same page about the importance of strength training, and it's in the physical activity guidelines. From what age do you think it's safe and appropriate for kids to engage in a kind of strength training?
Yeah, well, I guess first of all, it's probably important to distinguish what we mean by strength training, because I think most people, when they hear that term, that they are thinking about lifting heavy weights in a gym. And Australia's 24-hour movement guidelines do recommend that all school-aged kids from age 5 onwards should be doing activities to strengthen their muscles and bones. But that is really an umbrella term that encompasses a range of different activities, because there are many things that can strengthen muscles and bones. Not just lifting weights in a gym. So I suppose the evidence and global guidelines would say that from age 5, kids should be doing something to support the strength of their muscles.
And we've been talking about body weight exercises and things like that. Is that what you're thinking about, or are there other things involved?
Yeah, absolutely. So the entry point to any kind of formal resistance training, no matter what age the individual is, would be body weight exercise. So it's really important that anybody that wants to improve their strength using resistance training is starting from the beginning, which is really not adding any external weight and just learning how to move their body appropriately before adding any additional resistance. What I would say is for young kids, I totally agree with all the discussion that's been had so far, and it's not necessarily required that kids are doing, a structured strength training program in a gym at a young age in primary school. There are many activities they could be doing to build muscle strength, like gymnastics, like playing at the park and climbing on monkey bars. Unstructured play, definitely. And all of those things are appropriate. But it's not to say that there can't be some instruction either from parents or from physical educators, say, on how young people can move their bodies using basic body weight exercises like a push-up or a plank or a lunge or a squat.
So I think we're all, again, on the same page about those things being safe and effective ways to build muscle and bone strength. But Jordan, I know one slightly more controversial part of your advice is that kids could lift weights from as young as 9 if, as you say, there was appropriate supervision and instruction. Is that safe, though, when we think about potential injury risk? Genevieve was talking about the growth plates being quite a sensitive area of kids until skeletal maturity and the bits where the muscle attaches to the bone. What's your view on that?
Yeah, look, it's a legitimate concern. Any physical activity has some risk of injury. We do know, though, from decades of evidence that appropriately delivered and supervised strength training programs have very low injury rates. And in fact, injuries are much more likely to occur when kids play, our most popular team sports that parents are pretty happy to enroll their kids in year after year. And in fact, even growth plate injuries are much more likely in those activities. So whilst there is absolutely a risk and any kind of inappropriately conducted resistance training will increase that risk, I think the issue around growth plates, it's important to contextualise that in relation to the many other activities that might also provide a risk of that occurring. And in fact, resistance training, even using weights, even in kids that are of primary school age, assuming that it's done properly, actually doesn't have an increased risk of that kind of injury.
So context is everything, as in many, many things we discuss on Life Matters. We're speaking right now with Dr. Jordan Smith, who's a former high school PE teacher, now a senior lecturer at the University of Newcastle, specialising in strength-based fitness for primary and high school age kids. This is RN. My name's Hilary Harper. Jordan, do you think that most gyms have the specialists on hand to be able to deal with kids who, you know, might want to experiment with building strength in a more formalised gym environment, you know, from age 9 onwards, as you've been saying, as possible?
Yeah, look, I'm not sure, to be honest. My immediate knee-jerk reaction is no. You know, I think gyms have historically and remain designed for adults, and I think most of the staff that are working with gyms, you know, have been trained with adults being the people in mind that would be attending. So I think that there are an increasing number of child-specific gyms or people with certain training like popping up. But I think for the most part, public gyms probably don't have the personnel and training to really deliver appropriate activities for kids of various ages, because there are very specific and unique differences between kids and adults that have to be recognised in any kind of training program.
Well, indeed. And I'm really excited to talk about a project that you've been part of. We're moving on slightly from the very young kids that we've been talking about, engaging in active play and body weight exercise, the usual running, jumping, climbing and swinging things, and looking at teenagers, because you noticed something about the activity levels of the teenagers in your classes and saw an opportunity. Tell me what happened after that.
Yeah, so we're going back a little bit of time now. I did my PhD over 10 years ago now, but it stemmed from, you know, my work in schools as a teacher. I did notice there was a range of health behaviours, negative health behaviours that I saw, such as too much screen time, excessive sugary drink consumption, and general disengagement in PE, and also a lack of fitness, which at times did lead to certain injuries occurring, and also some limited sort of coordination among some students. So that kind of prompted me to want to pursue research, and that's kind of how I entered the world of academia. My research really focuses on sort of high school aged kids and trying to get them to re-engage with activity through resistance training, because it is a recommended activity for young people and also for adults. And the reality is that a good number of young people will do this at some point. And, you know, my concern is that the first kind of advice they're getting from anyone is potentially the wrong types of people, either influencers on Instagram or maybe people in a gym that, you know, don't necessarily have the best ideas about strength and muscle bulk and those kinds of things.
Yeah, they're just working on their arms. They're not seeing it as a whole body exercise.
Absolutely.
Well, and Jordan, you clocked the fact that some teenage boys are quite interested in building their muscles. How did you use that in your program?
Yeah, so my PhD work, again, we're going back a little time now, so you'll test my memory, but we tried to engage young boys that were otherwise disengaged in physical activity. And we knew that sort of team sports was something that probably wouldn't appeal to them. By mid-adolescence, kids are often recognising themselves as either the sporty type or not, and they might have missed a window in earlier childhood to develop some of the sports-related skills that will make them successful in organised sport. So what's the alternative for them? Well, it's going to be health and fitness activities. And young boys in particular, they do care about having big muscles and being strong. And whilst we certainly don't want to emphasize that as the most important thing, we can leverage that interest and redirect their attention towards the outcomes that we would see as more beneficial, like feeling better about yourself, building competence in different types of movements, and having an opportunity to be active in a way that you can maintain for the rest of your life.
And I do love how you kind of slipped in by stealth some educational stuff about sugary drinks and their impacts and excessive screen time and the problems with that. But Jordan, isn't that a bit of a dangerous strategy to motivate kids to get fit by focusing on muscles and then hope that you can channel them away from the aesthetic side of things before they get too caught up in unhealthy body images?
Yeah, well, I wouldn't say that we motivated them in that way. I think what we did is we took their existing interest in this, which would allow them to sort of agree to do something like a strength training program. And then once they were in, we spoke about, you know, the important things they should be focusing on and minimizing a focus on aesthetics. And it's about what the body can do and not what the body looks like it can do. And, you know, describing some of the pitfalls that they might come across if they did engage in this activity later. Because there are also, like I said, many young people who probably in mid to late high school will be going into gyms, and they will be interested in this. And the reality is, you know, schools historically have not really given any formal instruction and advice on, you know, how to navigate this world. So I guess our understanding and our philosophy is, should, you know, people with expertise and the right philosophy around this stuff be the ones that introduce them to it, rather than them finding their information on Instagram.
What kinds of changes did you see from the kids who participated, Jordan?
Yeah, so we saw a range of improvements in, first of all, their muscular fitness, obviously. So they were engaging in strength activities, and we did see an improvement in their strength. We also saw an improvement in their confidence to do resistance training activities, right, which makes sense. You teach them how to do something, you give them the skills, and then they feel more confident to do it. For those that were overweight at baseline, at the start of the program, we did see some improvements in their body composition as well. So a range of sort of both physical and psychological benefits from the program.
It's fascinating looking at this. We're getting lots and lots of texts. Kids do what they see. So exposing them to questionable adult activities, I don't think so. Another simply says, why do youngsters need increased strength? Well, as we've been hearing, it's about building those muscle and bone strength skills and connections so that they can have better long-term health. It's in the physical activity guidelines. Everyone should be doing some strength work, not necessarily bodybuilding or in excessive weightlifting, but strength building and muscle building every week.
I'd love to respond to that if it's,
yeah, go for it.
If I can. So yeah, a lot of people don't realize, but strength is a really important predictor of health outcomes, both in young people and adults. So a higher level of strength in youth is associated with improvements in bone health. So stronger bones, less likely to experience fractures. It's associated with reduced injury risk when kids play sport, and they're less likely to get hurt. It's associated with improvements in cardiometabolic health as well, and also self-esteem. So there are actually a lot of reasons why kids should be doing something to improve their muscular fitness. But I absolutely take the point that it should not be what many people are thinking about, going into a gym unsupervised and lifting really heavy weights and focusing on how you look in the mirror. That's really not what we want to do. But it doesn't mean that there's no way that we can improve kids' strength and achieve some of those benefits for them.
Yeah, and it shouldn't be sitting on a treadmill looking miserable, as Dr. Genevieve Dwyer saw in that ad years ago.
I totally agree with that.
So fascinating to speak with both of you today. Dr. Jordan Smith, thanks so much for joining us on Life Matters.
Thanks for having me.
Jordan's a former high school PE teacher, now a senior lecturer at the University of Newcastle. And Dr. Genevieve Dwyer, senior lecturer in paediatric physiotherapy at Western Sydney University and a practicing physio specialising in kids. Lovely to have your thoughts coming in via text too today. Greg says, many years ago, we had a friend that allowed their daughter to climb up and along the top of a swing frame. Must have been 4 metres high. We thought this was just too risky. A few years later, I saw how allowing kids not to experience your fears could work out. My own nephew in his teens climbed a streetlight that had caught my fishing line. He was up and out overhead before I could stop him, but he had no problems getting the line down. Well, that worked out well for you, Greg. I'm glad to hear. But yeah, it's interesting, isn't it, when you stop saying to your kids, be careful, don't do that, and start saying, how could you do that safely, do you think? Do you think that's going to work? What would you do next? You get some very different results.
ABCRN helps you understand the world. Find more of our stories on the ABC Listen app.